Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast for 6, 7 and 8 figure Amazon and e-commerce sellers, a part of the amazing FBA family. If you want to scale fast, target a 7 figure exit and enjoy the process, then keep listening. Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-commerce Leader, co-hosted by myself, Michael Veazey, and Jason Miles, top 1% Shopify store owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you're the owner of a thriving e-commerce business, look for The E-commerce Leader on your favorite podcast app and subscribe today. Ladles and jelly spoons, boys and girls, welcome back to the 10K Collective podcast, the place to be for 6, 7 and 8 figure Amazon sellers. It's a subset of the Amazing FBA podcast set. So today we are firmly in Amazon land. We're talking only about Seller Central today in some ways, but we are talking with John Cavendish of Seller Candy. And Seller Candy is there to be your Amazon Seller Central personal assistant, a very much needed task, I would say. So John, first of all, warm welcome back to the show.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me again.
Good to see you. And remind us where you're coming to us from today.
Well, today I am where I've been since the start of COVID in Vietnam. So I've actually been here for nearly 5 years, but me and my wife are supposed to be traveling in Europe this summer. And we've been in Vietnam all year.
Yeah, Europe is not the easiest place to be right now. I mean, as we speak, and there's just a constant COVID update whenever you listen to anything, right? So we've got to get that obligatory thing out of the way, and then we'll get to the meat of the matter. But yeah, I'm in London. It's mid-October 2020. We're just about to go into what they call Tier 2 here, which is to say that it's slightly more locked down than Tier 1 and not as bad as Tier 3. And it's so confusing, all the detail from the British government. But broadly speaking, it's not looking good regarding COVID. So on the other hand, though, that is meaning, of course, that e-commerce is exploding in the demand side. So there's never been a better time in a lot of ways to be on Amazon. But of course, Amazon likes to put rocks in our way and make life as tricky as possible. At least that's what it feels like from the seller's point of view, from the third party seller. So you've got a really neat sort of list of the 7 items that you find doing your account audits, which I know you offer for your new clients, that come up the most often. So I'd love to just cover that list and just kind of, first of all, flag up what people may be missing in their own account if they want to do their own audit. And then secondly, of course, look into some simple solutions side. So tell us, what are the 7 items that you found during your account audits? What are the 7 most common Amazon Seller Central errors, is another way of putting it?
Sure. So thanks, Michael. So the reason we started doing these audits is because when we onboard a new client with Seller Candy, we do a full audit of their account because we want to find value. Like, we want, when they sign up, we want to give them the value they've paid us, ideally for several months, back to them immediately. It makes our service free, also gives clients a load of tasks to give to their new virtual assistant. And it means that, you know, basically people stay around longer because we find work that needs to be done on their account, but they haven't seen, or it's just piling up. Because at the end of the day, we're always trying to do the highest value task in our business. That means that there's some tasks that just end up at the bottom of the barrel for a very long time. So some of the biggest things that we find when we're going through this audit, one that's actually not on here, but is some of the biggest things, is reconciliations and returns. So one thing that we do at least once a quarter for all of our clients is we do a return reconciliation report. So we actually dive into the account, we see what people have sent back to Amazon and whether Amazon has given you the money back. This is a huge thing, it's getting smaller, but it's still a very large amount of money for some people. Like, for one client last week, we got $4,500 back for the last 6 months worth of returns, and that's free money. But it's not free money because it's your money, which Amazon's been keeping. So we're trying to get that money back. Next, we look at inventory placement service. So we go through all the settings, basically. These are just settings items. The next 7 items I'll share are just items in settings. So some settings to check on your account if you want to dive in and have a look. Number one, inventory placement service. So when you're in FBA settings, you know, settings, FBA settings, check out inventory placement. Make sure it's not turned on. Some people have it turned on. This is more of a US thing because it's a US service. But make sure it's not turned on. People we know basically lost a fortune on this, $180,000 worth of inventory placement service, one guy I know. So make sure it's not turned on. Amazon will not give it you back. Next one, image dimensions. So this seems like a very basic thing. But when we look at listings, we find that people don't have high enough resolution images. And being that if you came through the hardcore FBA world, all the image dimensions, all the infographics, everything like that, But if you came in and this is something a side bit for your business or you're trying to expand, lots of people don't know Amazon's full guidelines on images. So just having images that meet Amazon's guidelines are super important because people bounce off of listings that don't have zoomable images.
Absolutely. And that just brings up another point that you've just raised implicitly, which is something that I was listening to an interview with another Amazon sort of more full service type Amazon agency. So it does a lot of the stuff you guys do and other stuff as well. But Ryan Daniel Moran was speaking to somebody about this, and he said, you really need to make a decision. And I think this was a very good sort of clarifying point that I hadn't quite heard anyone articulate as clearly as this, which is you're either an Amazon specialist, in which case you've got to spend a lot of time, you know, really looking out for these problems internally, or you decide that you're good at growing a product and a brand, including product development, which is huge. I don't know how anyone kind of just doesn't really talk about that very much, which means that I mean to get somebody in the podcast to talk about it. But it's just so much effort in my experience and my clients as well. You got to decide if that's where you're going to go and you're going to potentially sell to big box retail, which even after COVID is still going to exist, or you want to sell on your own platforms as well, like Shopify, then there is a very good case for clearly saying we are not Amazon specialists and hiring somebody who is. And I think, but he made a good point that it's a kind of binary decision in a sense, because if you're not an Amazon specialist, but you act like you are, you're going to miss all these problems that you keep finding in your clients' accounts, right? And for example, anyone who's putting up a non-zoomable image clearly is not an Amazon specialist, because there's a big no-no. So just wanted to make that point. It's an interesting point, and I think it's good if anyone's listening right now to consider for yourself and ask yourself the question, are we Amazon specialists, or are we trying to develop a brand and we happen to sell on Amazon as a main sales channel? So small point there. Okay, so what are the other issues that come up? Obviously, images, fairly straightforward. The inventory placement service, by the way, that's gold right there, because if somebody goes through and checks their account and finds that they can turn that off, we've just saved them a ton of money because it's very expensive, right? So what are the other things that come up around sort of sales driven stuff? Because obviously I know that a lot of people struggle to make sales and don't even, and it sounds crazy for anyone who really is an Amazon specialist, don't tend to use any of the sort of mechanisms that you could use except organic ranking. So what are your findings in that sort of area?
Yes. So one other thing which isn't on our list, which I shared with you, is having Amazon refurbished returns turned on. Amazon turns on by default. Everyone should go and turn it off unless you have a really good reason to have it turned on, because it means that Amazon checks when the return comes in, if the customer's opened it. If it seems okay, they'll reseal the box and sell it as new. And this is when you can have used sold as new notifications come out on your account. So that's definitely have that turned off, ideally.
And by the way, if you're new to the Amazon world, that was just such a classic example that right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing, because the guys in the warehouse have a default setting turned on by the system to refurbish, use things as new, whereas the kind of sales mechanism and customer service side sees that as a terrible crime, right? And it's just an insanely inconsistent seeming thing. But we have to, as sellers, take responsibility for consistency, don't we? I think it's one of those things that strikes with Amazon. It's an incredible thing and it's a terrible thing in some way, right? Incredible opportunity managed by an idiot somehow. I don't know how to put it. But that's a really classic example. Thanks for flagging that up. Actually, again, I've seen somebody who got their account suspended, really big seller, it was a few years ago. He was an Amazon specialist, still ended up getting an account suspended because they'd had stuff sold as new that was effectively not new because they hadn't turned off their refurbished returns. So it's absolutely a real thing.
As you said, it's a spendable issue.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
It's mental, isn't it? Their system is set up by default to do something that will cause another part of the system to suspend you. Anyway, which is why we've got to have a specialist on side. Okay, so this is a bit of a horror show, isn't it, that we're talking through here. So what are the other things that happen that are really risky to people's accounts, would you say, that are out there that people don't realize?
So the other stuff we have isn't very risky. Most of the other stuff we're going to go through now, this is all just like best practice. So some more best practice things, using coupons on your listing. There was some data that came out that said only 8% of sellers use coupons. And there's no reason really not to use coupons at the moment. Like, even if it's a coupon for $1 or $2 or a very small percentage, it gives, you know, you a little orange or green coupon or voucher, it's a voucher in the UK, bar on your listing. So you get enhanced click-through, better click-through rate. It doesn't really cost you anything if you can increase your price slightly to cover the coupon. PPC organization. So just people having badly done advertising, this isn't something that we manage with Seller Candy, but it's something that we want to highlight to people. Like, this is, you should talk to somebody or you should follow this guideline if you want to make your PPC better, because there's campaigns with different SKUs inside that are not related to each other. And then, or automated campaigns where everything is bidding the same amount. So, you know, now in auto campaigns, we've got four different types of bids. I can't remember all of them, but there's definitely close, loose, broad, and something else. And making sure that close matches have the highest bid and then a cascading bids below that in your auto campaigns is super useful. Also, having SKUs separated out into their own campaigns. Otherwise, one SKU is always going to steal all the budget because it performs the best. Then we'll dive into listings. We won't look at all the listings, depending on how many listings there are, because some of our clients have hundreds and hundreds of listings. Look at the ones that sell the best, and we'll just give them a breakdown of what could be improved. So having the right bullet points, images, infographics, EBC, like anything that we think can increase volume, we'll suggest. And then we go into all the seller metrics. So seller feedback, IP claims, or anything they may that may be on the account, we'll dive in, see what the issue is, and highlight it as a list of stuff that needs to be fixed. And that gives us a load of stuff to get started on.
That is a lot of stuff to get started on. But what I really like is the blend that you're bringing to the party here, because what strikes me is, and this brings up the broader issue really of again, the fundamental question, are we Amazon specialists or are we, you know, product development and brand creation specialists and Amazon's a sales channel? Another question, which is more fundamental and basic, but because Amazon lets you scale so quickly, comes up for people, even with quite big turnover. There's a couple of guys in the mastermind that ran in London, and one of them, I think, was doing about £1.5 million a year run rate and had no staff at all, no VAs, nothing. And actually, it's been a bit of a culture shock to him as it is when you start hiring people. And then, of course, that comes down to, okay, but I could do all that stuff, which is the technician thinking in terms of the three levels of the E-Myth Revisited, right? So what do you find in terms of the mentality of people coming in as to sort of shift away from the practical stuff for a second? What are the sort of journey that your clients are on when they actually get down to, I'm going to hire somebody to deal with this stuff?
So we have two types of clients. It's a really good question. So we have like the E-Myth style client. So we have the solopreneur or the somebody with a business partner who comes in and they want to become the business owner. Everyone wants to become the business owner. We're not saying that for 500, for whatever our service costs, we have a range of fees, $400 to $900 a month. But we're not saying for that fee, you're going to become the business owner. This is your one trick, you're done. But this is a stepping stone from being the technician to becoming the business owner. You need to become the manager. And we don't believe that you should be putting a lot of your time into managing such low level tasks. Like, you will need to become the manager as the business grows bigger and you're getting like a COO and a real proper educated operational team. But to get these small things going, you don't need to do HR, hiring, payroll, all this kind of stuff. We can make that super easy and outsource it, basically. So that's the first type of, is somebody who's either on their own or got a small team. They want a technical expert. They're sick of hiring, you know, trying to hire VAs or trying to hire somebody for cheap, but who doesn't have the skill set and needs training. So what we want to provide is that person. And then another type of customer is a bigger company. So actually, we work with some larger companies who have Amazon marketing teams or a marketing manager, a CMO. And what tends to happen in these like larger companies, you know, anything from 5 to 30 million, is that the CMO gets given Amazon. And then you're paying this person a large salary, you know, $60,000 to $100,000 in the US, maybe more, to head up marketing. But then they're wasting like probably multiple out 10 hours a week, maybe, managing Amazon and managing small stuff in Amazon Seller Central. So we just become the hands and the operations of that person. So yeah, in a couple of cases, we are integrated as kind of an assistant for the marketing manager for one of those businesses.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's interesting that the journey, I guess, just to reiterate for anyone who hasn't read the E-Myth Revisited, it's probably most people have that I've come across, but if you haven't, really great book. It's high level stuff. It's good putting the concept across. It's not going to tell you absolutely how to do everything, but technician, manager, entrepreneur. Technician is the person who does the work. The manager manages other people who do the work, I guess, including HR functions, hiring, firing, etc. And then the entrepreneur is the person building a business system. And I guess, as you say, everyone aspires to be the entrepreneur, But then what strikes me so often, and absolutely true in my case, I'm a great sort of crash test dummy for all the faults that I can put out there that people might want to see in themselves. I certainly end up aspiring to be a business creator of business system that runs itself, and then actually just working like a technician just down in the mines. And that's incredibly common. So if nothing else emerges from this episode, if we simply get people to be willing to go, I shouldn't be doing this anymore, and looking for a solution, I think we've done them a big favor. But as you say, then the next thing is, oh my God, hiring and firing. It's a huge area. I've just been doing a whole series on hiring virtual assistants with my fellow podcast host, Jason Miles from the E-commerce Leader, a bit of a plug for our sort of sister podcast. Honestly, we've spent hours talking about it and we're beginning to scratch the surface. It's a huge job, right? Yeah. So tell me a bit of that. Brings me to another question, actually, which is, how do you guys, I mean, without revealing all the secret sauce, as it were, how do you guys even go about hiring people for this? Because this is quite fiddly work you're hiring people for here.
So as you said, the best people come from being Amazon experts. And I've been running an Amazon agency for the past 2.5 years. Before that, I was an Amazon seller. Well, I'm an Amazon seller for the last, nearly 6 years now. So we have the skill set internally already. And some of our team from the full service, who's been in the full service for 4+ years, have come across to be the technical experts through Seller Candy. So we have a super experienced high-level team who are basically the brains and the oversight of everything that happens. From there, because we physically, me and my business partner on this, Brian, physically live in Vietnam, we have an office. So we had an office. Currently, everyone's working remotely because of COVID. But we can physically hire people, train them in-house, supervise them. Everyone has different levels. So security is super high. No one at the bottom has any kind of high level access to an account. We actually physically know these people and have all their information. So it makes it much easier for us to trust and hire and train and keep a secure team being here in person, basically, rather than having to hire people in person in the West.
It doesn't make sense. So I guess it's like the sort of thing where people go out to the Philippines traditionally and hire like 40 people and are out there working on behalf of a company based in the US or the UK or something. So I guess you're that kind of wing for people, which does make a lot of sense.
Your personal BPO, yeah.
So the way you hire people is not something anyone else is going to be able to emulate easily unless they're willing to go and relocate physically, by the sound of it. So
I'd recommend it. Vietnam's great.
Yeah, and I've spoken to a couple of guys who've been out in Vietnam. Vietnam's kind of the new China for sourcing, apart from anything else. So it's an exciting place. But yes, probably a bit of a major move. So if somebody who actually doesn't aspire to do that, then want to live in London or New York, it would be a bit of a nuclear move, really. Okay, so what are we missing here? What am I not asking that I should ask you here?
It's a great question. Well, I mean, there's many things you could ask me if you wanted to ask me. Well, I mean, I think that's the reason that we're doing the webinar, isn't it? So that people can kind of jump on and ask these questions themselves. Well, what's your question? What are you most interested in about Seller Candy?
I think we've covered the basics, actually. So let's talk about the webinar. So obviously, there's a lot to discuss here. And, you know, sometimes it's easier to absorb this stuff with some visuals as well as the listening on a podcast. So we've got the webinar coming up. And if you want to register for that, we'll give you the details in a second. Tell us a little bit about what the contents of the webinar are about.
So the webinar is for anyone that's interested in hiring a virtual assistant, but doesn't know where to start. So, you know, to be honest, the webinar is telling you about our service. So we're telling you, you know, what we can do, what we can't do, what we're great at, what we're not great at, and answering any questions of anyone who's interested in joining Seller Candy. And of course, being that we're running it with you, we will offer a special offer just for your listeners. Mm-hmm. So anyone that comes can take advantage of that offer as well. And the pricing will be slightly better than what's on our website.
Excellent. That's the most honest webinar pitch I've ever heard, because actually everyone just kind of pretends it's just super, super training and doesn't mention that there'll be some kind of offer in it. But it makes sense. And I think really this is a bit of a no-brainer for me. Anyone who is above a certain level of revenue and spending a certain number of hours per week fighting Seller Central or missing huge chunks, like having the inventory placement service turned on or whatever, should definitely just get that off their plate ASAP. Your one option, it's up to them, of course, to decide what options they go with. But yeah, they absolutely should be doing this. So I think it's a bit of a no-brainer to at least check it out if you're that person. So it's amazingfba.com/sellercandy, S-E-L-L-E-R, candy, C-A-N-D-Y. And we're going to run that on the 12th of November. I believe that, let me get these times right, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. UK, 6 p.m. Central European. So for any of you placed in Europe or US, you're going to be at a nice time. Of course, poor John is going to be doing a webinar at midnight. So if you register for this, this, you better be serious because this man's working hard for you. So looking forward to that very much. I think that'll be good fun. Again, you can reiterate some of the basics of this stuff. What is your sort of number one hint to anyone who is currently selling on Amazon? What steps should they take to clean up their account in the easiest way possible?
Clean up their account. People usually come to us when they want to get to the next level, but all their time is being used up. So what I'd say is come talk to us. When you sign up, we will do an audit of your account and figure out what needs to be cleaned up. Because everyone has different problems with their account, but you'd be surprised how often people have the same issues coming up and over and over and again, over and over again. Everyone thinks they're unique to their business, but in reality, everyone's having the same issues.
Right.
It's a pitch, but we're going to tell you about the service if you're interested in it.
Great. So that webinar sounds really fun, and it'd be good to just get a bit more detail about how you guys operate, and people can then make their own decisions like grown-ups. You know, there's no kind of fear about somebody making an offer shouldn't make anyone run for the hills. And in the end, a grown-up business person needs to know what's out there, and then they decide. So that's all good stuff. You're clearly massively experienced as a company and you personally in how people operate. So have you got any sort of one or two takeaways, some hints of what people can do themselves to start the process of cleaning up their seller account or their operations within Seller Central?
So, I mean, I think having somebody to support you is the first step, because too much we get so into it that we think we're busy all day, every day, and we think we're making loads of progress. But I've had the same problem, is that I get to the end of the week, I look what I've accomplished, and I've accomplished, like, you know, this list of 30 items, but none of them is actually going to make me more revenue in the future.
Yeah.
That's what I used to be like.
Hmm.
So going from there, feeling super busy to still being busy, but actually having these like projects per week, which are moving towards future growth, towards revenue, towards something better, is my biggest tip, I think, is to try and set the vision and work on things which are towards the vision for the business rather than just busy work. Because it's so easy to get taken in with busy work.
Absolutely. It reminds me of the Dan Kennedy quote, which is, when you're in the swamp with the alligators, all you want to do is get away from the alligators, but you've got to remember why you got in the swamp in the first place, which is to get to the other side. It's a very down at home kind of metaphor from Dan Kennedy, but I like it. It's absolutely true. And I would just plead with anyone listening, whether you go with John and Seller Candy or whoever you use, please, please get this stuff off your desk, because I speak with so many people who are intelligent people working incredibly hard and doing pretty well, but they could be doing so much better if they just got this stuff off their desk. And it's amazing how long it takes people to get to that point. I mean, people hear other people using VAs or sell agencies like yourself for months and months in the mastermind, and eventually they kind of get around to hiring people. So I encourage anyone listening to do it. So John, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate that. Whenever we talk, it's kind of pretty late for you in Vietnam, so I appreciate your sacrifice. Looking forward to the webinar. And many, many thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Michael. And looking forward to chatting on the webinar in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for listening to the 10K Collective podcast, part of the family of amazing FBA podcasts. Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-Commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by yours truly and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you're the owner of a thriving online business and you want to become the best e-commerce leader you can be, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many topics, go to www.theecommerceleader.com.